Please welcome Hemant Mehta.
Thank you to Sam, and thank you to everyone at AHA for having me here. So you're all here on a Saturday to hear atheists talk about stuff, which is unusual. But that means you care about the stuff. You're passionate about this sort of subject. So here's my first question for everyone here. What is our goal? Why do you come to events like this? Why do you promote atheism, if that is what you do? Why do you care about this stuff so much? And you're welcome to just yell out ideas.
Who's gonna hold down the fort?
What? Of the children.
Think of the children. What about the children? What is so important about the children? Why do you care about the children so much?
Because they're the future, at least eventually.
It's true. It is true. They are the future.
I was indoctrinated and I hated it.
Okay. So you want to break kids of, like, that childhood indoctrination.
I would leave children with the shame and anger that was my religious experience.
Fair enough. Save kids from that shame. Yeah. And that's... I'm fortunate enough that I didn't have that experience growing up, but I know plenty of people who have. And that's one of the reasons. They don't want other people to go through the traumatic kind of experiences that they had growing up in a very religious household. Why else do we do all this? To prevent a theocracy, absolutely. We don't want religion getting involved in the government. So there's a lot of other reasons too. We want to foster a community. We want to make people more reasonable. We want them to think critically. And the best ways we can do this, we've been able to spread these ideas in so many ways. So think about how did all of you get connected to this sort of world? What was it, if you weren't raised as an atheist, if you are an atheist anyway, what was it that made you become an atheist? And again, yell out some stuff. What made you become an atheist?
Internet.
90% of the crowd that applies to. What else?
Logic.
That's very vague. How did logic help you? I mean, through what capacity?
Just being able to think about things.
Nice. I mean, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people would agree with you. I would agree with you too. And for me, it was same thing. It was the internet, but it wasn't a blog. It wasn't a YouTube video when I was growing up, and it wasn't any atheist book because I honestly didn't know there were books out there for atheists. So for me, it was seeing, like, talking in chat rooms to people, and they would throw stuff at me, and it was just fascinating. But for a lot of people, I guess if you're in your 20s or 30s, I think a lot of people would say a lot of the best-selling books help them think critically and become an atheist. So a lot of people in their 20s would probably say something like the God delusion. A lot of people who are younger than 20 would tell you a lot of things regarding the internet. So you said the internet, was it anything specific?
Not really.
No, internet in general? So I've heard from a lot of people who have said it was a specific website that helped them, or a specific YouTube channel, or a specific podcast, or some form of online media that helped them think in a way that they never thought about before. And I think that's hugely important. I think we need to recognize that a lot of people lose their faith through those channels. And if we want to help people, if we want to protect them, if we want to save the children, we have to understand where they're going and then try to reach out to people in those ways. So here's the deal. This talk kind of comes in two parts. One is that there are some people in this crowd who are going to be, like, professional activists of sorts. Like, you are going to make fighting for this sort of issue, whether it's church-state separation, whether it's promoting atheism, some of you are going to find a way to do that as just a huge part of who you are and what you do. But a lot of people here, you're probably not going to do that. It's a hobby, it's something you're interested in, you're passionate about it, but you have a day job. But you're going to do other stuff in your life. And the question is, how do you mesh those two worlds? And so first, let me talk to the people who don't see this as, like, their full-time career, which I would think is a lot of people in the crowd, especially those of you who are in college or about to graduate. You're probably heading into fields that don't seem like they directly connect to activism or atheism. But there are ways to merge the two worlds. So let me throw a few fields out there for you that I think have found a way to kind of push critical thinking into that world, and maybe it's not the first thing you would expect. There's a site called Religion News Service. It's a journalism organization. They produce articles about religion and sell them to various newspapers. So the Washington Post, for example, publishes a lot of articles by the Religion News Service. They actually hired a writer to write about atheism, which is crazy. Like, and she writes a lot of stuff about it because there's so much going on in that world. What are atheists thinking about? What do they care about? What are the issues that matter then? But okay, maybe journalism is a dying field. Maybe you're not going to be able to do that at some point in the future. But that's okay, because even if you're not writing about religion, you can work critical thinking into other ways. Like that guy. Nate Silver is like the Richard Dawkins of the journalism world. Why? Because he took something like politics that people relied on their instincts and their gut feeling, and he applied logic, and he applied numbers and math to it. And it turns out he's really good at it, and he's right a lot of times. There's a great site, is Nate Silver a witch? .com. And the answer is always yes. But that's the idea. Here's someone whose job is to write about politics and sports. But what does he do? He says, here's what I think is going to happen. Here's my prediction. But this isn't coming out of nowhere. Here's how I know that I'm right. Or at least on probability speaking wise, I'm pretty close to the truth. Here's the numbers I used. Here's where I'm getting the information from. You can examine it yourself. It's not just punditry. It's not just making stuff up. It's applying logic and critical thinking to areas we're not used to seeing it. And that's amazing. That's a great way to do stuff. Medicine is an amazing place where we need doctors and nurses and people who work in the medical industry to know more about issues of science and reason. How many medical issues are there that directly relate to religion? Whether it's fake healing, whether it's blood transfusions, whether it's getting childhood vaccines, all these issues where it turns out not a lot of doctors are willing to be outspoken about what people ought to do, what the science says. It would be great to have more doctors who can push this sort of thinking, not just to their patients, but to the public in general. Because there aren't a lot of people who do that already. You would think doctors who have a huge public forum could do that. But even someone like Dr. Oz, if you ever watch his show, pushes a lot of pseudoscience on his shows. It would be great to have some medical experts who could say, this is wrong and here's why. There are some, but there could be more. What about FFRF? Here's an entire, yes. They employ lawyers who work on church-state separation issues. But okay, maybe that's one organization, and there's only a handful of organizations that directly employ lawyers who work on those issues. But you know what? If you're a lawyer at all, if you have that sort of training, there's so much you could do to promote the sort of thinking that we want to get across. Whether it's, you know, fighting for criminal defense, fighting for people who don't necessarily have a voice, arguing, I don't know, against the death penalty because it's used so poorly in a lot of cases. Even doing some pro bono work where you can offer good advice, where you can do some of the work in the local areas where maybe people don't necessarily know what they should do if they see something bad going on. We need people in that capacity as well. How about becoming a politician? Barney Frank came out as an atheist after he left office, but it would be great to see how many atheists are in Congress right now, openly. Zero. There's not even a single one. There is one person who we speculate is out, but she will not divulge if she's an atheist. So there's zero atheists in Congress. But you know what? That's a long shot. Not everyone's going to get to be a senator. Not everyone's going to be a representative. But what about running for city council? Because I'm sure any lawyer in Ann Arbor can tell you how many city councils have a lot of religious people on their town as elected officials. What about running for a local school board? Especially in conservative areas where we could use some watchdogs to make sure kids are learning what they ought to be learning. We need people to get used to running for office, even at a campus where you're running for student body president. We need people, and I'm not saying you should do this because you ought to promote atheism in that office. I'm saying you should do this because we need people who know how to weigh evidence and think critically, and we don't have a lot of those people. And unfortunately, it seems like the people who have the loudest voice in politics tend to be the people who are the least deserving of it, at least it seems to me, a lot of times. How about becoming, even if you're doing something totally different, what if you're an artist? There's a wonderful artist, cartoonist by the name of Jessica Hagee, whose drawings are just sketches on note cards. And yet somehow, she finds a way to push through her own humanism in her cards, no matter what she does. what others can do for you versus how kind you are to them. It takes a second, but it makes you think once you've looked at it. Happy Easter. That's my favorite. By the way, and what? So my day job, I'm a high school math teacher, and you would think, again, a teacher is not going to be there, especially at a public school. You're not going to be there to indoctrinate the kids. I totally agree with you. But math, it seems like if you were going to find a subject where you're spreading critical thinking, where you're fostering those sort of skills, it would be a science teacher, right? Where you're teaching them biology, where you're teaching them chemistry. I teach math. It seems like that couldn't be further away from that sort of field, and I totally disagree, because math is all about teaching logic and critical thinking. Let me throw a question at you that maybe you haven't seen before, because you would never see it on a standardized test, but I think it's a fair question. And I want you to yell out the number answer as soon as you think you know it. Which one is the odd one out? Keep yelling.
1, 4, 4, 2, 8, 3, 3, 3.
Argue with each other. You just heard someone next to you say something different. Why are you right and why are they wrong?
Right, yeah, you're right.
By the way, there is a right answer to this.
1, 2, 3.
All right, I'm going to make you raise your hands. How many of you think 1 is the answer? 2, 3, 4, 5. These are pretty evenly distributed. So the answer is 1. Why is the answer 1? Because the one on the far right is really small, 4 is green, 3 is a circle, 2 doesn't have an outline around it. So 1 is weird because there's actually nothing weird about it. It has something in common with all the other ones, but none of the other ones do, and that's what makes number 1 stand out. That question, I swear, when you're around a bunch of 14, 15-year-olds, that's a half-hour-long debate. And they get really into it. And they'll argue, and it's awesome to watch them, like, debate this stuff, because they're so convinced they're right. And having those sort of arguments where it's like, no, just, I don't care what your answer is. Prove to me that you're right, and defend it, and argue it, and have someone else knock you down because they say you're wrong. It's an awesome way to generate discussion. So even in a field like teaching, I have no desire to promote atheism to my students, but I do want them to be able to defend themselves and think and argue about this stuff, and there's no better way to do that in that field either. How many of you were here last night to hear Jamie Kilstein? Now, comedy is an awesome way to do it. I wanted to play a Jamie Kilstein clip, but you heard him yesterday. So let me play something else for you. Here's a comedian named Hari Kondabolu, who's awesome. And he just finds a way to work religion into his act in a way that I'd never thought about before, and I love it.
I went bowling the other night, and I saw a man pray to his bowling ball. An adult human! An adult human being! Pray to God for bowling help! Please, God, please give me this moment of strength. Please, Lord, in your name, give me this moment of glory. No! No, man! God is not going to help you bowl, okay? I think God has more important things to do than help you bowl. But then I started thinking about how screwed up the world is right now. Maybe God does have time. Because haven't you ever had a long list of things to do for the day and you only pick the easy things to do first? Maybe that's what God is doing. All right, so we got genocide, poverty, war. I'm gonna get that 7-10 split. There you go. You're welcome, Buffalo. Okay, Africa. Sorry again for the delay. Maybe after the Super Bowl. I'm kidding. Of course, I'm kidding. God doesn't exist. Surprise! We're adult humans here. That joke was kind of a metaphor for life, wasn't it? It ends with, God doesn't exist. Surprise!
The point being, no matter what field you go into, I promise you there's going to be a way to spread the sort of values that we all care about. And I hope that even if you don't want to be an out atheist, because I know that's uncomfortable for a lot of people, and I know it's not even like a viable option in some cases, there are things you can do to spread the things that we all care about, the sort of logic and critical thinking. So if organized atheism, if promoting atheism publicly isn't your thing, that's okay. I hope you can find another way to do it. But let's talk about something else, though, which is that for those of you who do want to go public with your atheism, who have no problem openly saying, I'm an atheist, there are so many ways to do that now. But here's the thing. How many ways do we, and I mean that as like a huge, broad atheist community, what ways do we use, what methods do we use to spread atheism? My general field is blogging. Like, that's the area that I've done for a long time. But what other ways have you seen atheists promote their ideas? Yell those out too. TV interviews, if you're lucky enough to be able to get those, yeah. Books.
News articles.
Podcast is huge right now there's so many atheist podcasts out there. It's awesome.
YouTube channels
is another big one. And those are usually the main places where I hear people talking about atheism, in those kind of venues. But here's the thing. When a lot of us grew up, you could say, like, and as I mentioned before, a lot of us became atheists maybe because we read something that someone wrote. You read a Richard Dawkins book, you read Christopher Hitchens, and that got you thinking, and maybe you became an atheist through those channels. If you're a little younger, it might be one of those sort of newer social media channels. Maybe YouTube has been the reason you feel more comfortable as an atheist, which is weird because that wasn't even around, you know, a decade or two ago. And even something like Facebook, where people are just, they can go on Facebook and change their profile, so it says, like, what are your religious views? Atheist. Or if they want to be quirky about it, I'm a Pastafarian, or whatever they say. There are so many ways for them to be open about it and talk about their views. But here's what I want to say. Whatever's popular right now, I promise you it's not going to be popular a few years from now. My students, who are 14, 15, they really don't use Facebook as much as they used to. They're breaking away a little bit from YouTube. They don't listen to podcasts at all, and they think it's weird that people write blogs. Which means that a lot of the ways a lot of us connect with atheism these days won't be the way they're going to do it in the future. And that's really important for us to know, because I know I invest a lot of my time into my blog. But if I'm not reaching people who haven't heard all this stuff before, how much good is it really doing? So what I want to, the thing I want to ask you, and maybe these sound like silly questions, how many of you, raise your hand if you ever use Snapchat? How many of you use it to spread atheism? How many of you have a Tumblr page and use it to spread atheism? Hey, nice. One person. How many of you have a Vine account? How many of you have heard of Vine? All right, that's good. There are so many ways out there that kids are using now that, one, people haven't heard of, but two, we don't use it to promote our ideas. And I'm not saying you should just get on these things for the sole purpose of doing it, but I'm saying there is so much new technology out there, and there will be. Like, every week or two, there's some new thing that's going to be the next big thing. And every time that happens, if you are an activist, if you want to promote your stuff, you should be asking yourself, how can I use that to spread my ideas? Did you hear Facebook bought some like virtual reality company for like billions of dollars? Oculus something something. I have no idea what they do, but the question we should be asking is, how can I leverage this to promote my ideas? Sounds creepy and crazy, but I'm telling you, like, that's what, I promise you, that's what Christians are thinking. So why shouldn't we be thinking about that too? And if we don't adapt to that, our momentum's going to be lost. I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't try doing it myself. So like I said, I've written some stuff. I've written a blog for a long time. But I realized that's one approach. And that approach may work for me in some capacity, but there's a lot of people who will not read my blog. There's a lot of people who won't read. So it turned out I had this really cool opportunity like last summer, where there was a professor outside of Chicago where I'm from, and he said, I have an idea, I want to do a documentary. He teaches film, he teaches TV and media. And he said, I want to use those skills to kind of promote this idea that atheists are discriminated against, or it's really hard to be an atheist, especially in some areas. So, do you mind if I ask you some questions and I can get it on film? And I'd like to make a documentary about this. And, okay, cool, I've seen people try to do that before. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's like, okay, cool, you can ask me some questions. So one day he came over and he asked me some questions that are pretty basic. I want to just read you some of these questions. And the idea we had is that there's a lot of questions that anyone who becomes an atheist has to deal with at some point. Because when you become an atheist, it's not like a lot of your life changes outwardly, maybe very little changes, but you start rethinking a lot of those ideas you had from when you were religious. So what happens after you die? As an atheist, what do you think happens after you die? That's something for my like personally, I had an answer for when I was growing up, and it totally changed when I stopped believing in God. So what goes through your mind when you start thinking that? Where do you get your morals from? Why are you still a good person? You have an answer for that when you're religious, but that answer changes when you become an atheist. How do you come out to people? To your parents, to your friends, to someone you're dating, which is really awkward. What obstacles am I going to face if I'm an atheist? Is atheism a religion itself? So we got together and we started answering some of these questions, and I didn't really know where he was going with this. He was going to interview a few people. But here's what he started to do that was really cool. He began a channel on YouTube just called Atheist Voice. And we started uploading one-off answers. Like, here's the question, what do you think happens when you die? And we'll take a two-minute clip and we just stuck it up on YouTube. And what was weird is that people responded. And it's strange to say this, but there actually aren't too many great places where you can find answers to basic questions about atheism. Richard Dawkins, or someone who has that much of a reach, may talk about the big argument about God, but what about the day-to-day stuff that everyone has to deal with? There aren't so many places to find that. So when this question goes up on YouTube, people started watching it. And all they did, how did they find the video? They would just search for atheists. They would search for atheism or religion, and this stuff would come up. And so we started doing that more often. We started asking more questions that are just basic questions that a lot of atheists have to deal with. And then we started throwing in other ones to the mix. Why not talk about current events? Well, like, whatever's going on. If you guys heard, Ayaan Hirsi Ali was offered an honorary degree, and then the school that offered it rescinded it because apparently they Googled her name after they gave it to her. Let's talk about that. What do atheists think about issue X or issue Y? How should atheists deal with Fred Phelps' death, the guy from Westboro Baptist Church? Is there a general consensus? Like, how do you react to that? Or at the very least, how does one atheist react to that? Is atheism bad for business in Hollywood? Because we see all these Christian movies out right now, and there's still more on the way. So how come there aren't any movies that reflect kind of atheism as a whole? Is there a reason for that? Was it a good or bad idea for Bill Nye to debate Ken Ham? We started asking a bunch of these questions, and then one of the things we thought about is BuzzFeed, because they're really popular. And how did they get really popular? They just post a lot of lists. So we started making some lists, like what are things no one should ever say to an atheist? And we came up with a bunch of things, and I want to show you a clip from that video, 15 things you shouldn't say to an atheist. So a question comes up, what are things Christians should not say to atheists? First one, where do you get your morality from? Don't assume that because we're atheists, we don't have morals. We all have morals, we all have ethics. Ours don't derive from a holy book. And I would hope that your Bible isn't the only reason you're not out there killing everybody in sight. Do you not believe in anything? Your life must be so empty. It's like, no, I don't believe in God. I believe in plenty of other things, and there's a lot of other things that give my life meaning. Whether it's friends, family, teaching, the kids I work with on a regular basis, talking about atheism and writing about it, which means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to the people watching this or reading the website. But all the atheists I know have plenty in their life that gives them meaning. Why are you mad at God? Because apparently if I don't believe in God, I must have this deep hatred and I wake up every morning and I curse the sky. Hate God. Atheists don't believe in God. We also don't hate unicorns. You can't. I'm gonna stop there for a sec, because this goes on for a while. But here's the thing about that. Those videos, which by the way, all I do is show up and this guy turns them into nice videos. But what's weird about this, we've been doing this for like 6-7 months now, and the channel has like 60,000 plus subscribers who see these videos, or at least know about these videos. And a lot of people watch them, and it's not really like it's getting promotion anywhere else. I post them on my website, but I promise you, people who read the blog are not watching YouTube as much. It's getting to people because they're searching for basic things like, how do I be an atheist? What happens if I don't believe in God? Those are the things they're searching for. So all I have to do is try to give them an answer that they can find. And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter what venue it is. Whatever venue people are going to, if you can provide that answer for them, you're going to reach people. One of the cool things about this is I get emails now from people who never read anything I do, but they saw a YouTube video and they reached out to me for whatever reason. It's strange. But I promise you, if any of you have ever used Twitter or you've used Facebook or you've used any sort of venue to talk about your religious beliefs or lack thereof, how many of you have done that before? Keep your hands raised if you've ever gotten a message from somebody who just said, thank you for doing that. It's a lot of hands still raised up. It happens. As long as you put it out there, I promise you, it will reach people. And you have no idea how that's going to happen. You're like, who's watching this video? Who's listening to my podcast? Who's doing any of this stuff? There are people it will reach, as long as you are in the spaces where they are going to look. So my hope for you guys, and I'll talk about that too, my hope is that you can branch out into these new venues. And by the way, one of the cool things about the Atheist Voice videos is it actually doesn't take a lot of time to do. We meet like an hour, and a lot of the stuff we talk about is stuff I've written about on my site already. It's stuff I've been thinking about for a while. A lot of the questions you just saw up there, I'm sure a lot of you have been thinking about for a long time, and you have answers for. So it's not like you have to reinvent the wheel every time. Like, recycle the stuff that you've already talked about and said. So what's really neat, and you can also have fun with the media venue in general. One of the fun things we did, we made 2 videos when the Super Bowl was going on about why the Bible says the Seattle Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl and why the Bible says whoever the other team was going to win the Super Bowl. And we made both of those videos because, hey, guess what? The Bible can defend whatever you want it to defend. And as soon as the game looked to be put away, we uploaded the right video. And they're like, how did you know? It's like, no, that's the point. So here's the thing. After all this, how many of you have read The God Delusion? How many of you were atheists when you read The God Delusion already? And if you're like me, I was an atheist too when I read The God Delusion. I read it and I'm like, yeah, I've heard it before. I didn't learn anything from the book because I kind of already knew that stuff. It wasn't new information to me. But have you heard of the phrase new atheism? It's a weird phrase because there's nothing new about it. It's all the same ideas people have had for a long time. But what was cool about the best-selling books, what's cool about all these videos and podcasts and everything, is that they're taking the same old ideas, but they're reaching new crowds with it. Because there are people who use all the different types of social media that have never seen it before. And that's so powerful. Like, to take those old ideas and reach a new audience with it. And so I hope if you can find a way to just start speaking, start talking about the stuff you believe in some, whatever it is, social media app that you use, it's going to reach people. And the cool part is if you start doing it in one venue, it'll translate to another. If you've ever written a blog post, that is fodder for many, many tweets down the road. And you could say basically the same thing. If you make a YouTube video, you could make a transcript of it and turn that into a blog post. If you are a photographer, you can go on Instagram and start posting things that really make people think. If you speak a different language, you could translate stuff that you've seen in other places, and that would be powerful. Let's not forget there is a lot of social media out there that we don't use because we're Americans, and other countries use a lot of it. So the last thing I want to leave you with is, let me give you a few tips if you are trying a different type of media, because it is important. One is, don't get frustrated if it doesn't seem like you're reaching anybody right away. I've been writing stuff for like 7 years now, and I think for the first 3, the number of people who were reading it or commenting on it is relatively low. And then it started picking up from there. Anyone who starts any form of YouTube videos, or you make a podcast, it's like, well, no one's watching this, or like the view count is like 10. But if you keep at it, I promise you, it will always, it's always going to go up. It's mathematically always going to go up, but it's going to go up. And it's so weird how many people will find you because they're searching for things about atheists and atheism. They want to learn more about it. If you can help it, don't do it half-assed. And here's what I mean by that. If you're writing on Twitter, try to use complete sentences, because I promise you that will go further. If you're making a video, get a good camera. If you're doing a podcast, get a quality microphone. But you know what? If you don't have the money, which is a legitimate thing, if you don't have the money to pay for that stuff, who cares? It totally doesn't matter. I've seen so many people on YouTube now whose entire like technical know-how is they take a camera, point it at themselves, and talk. And guess what? That's just as powerful. It really does impact a lot of people. How many of you have seen this before? A lot. That's Matt Dillahunty for The Atheist Experience. It's a public access talk show in Texas. It looks like crap. I love Matt. If you watch the thing, you're like, this looks like a public access TV show. That's the reaction you have. But their videos on YouTube are everywhere, because you know why? Because it doesn't matter what it looks like. You just want to listen to them talk and respond to people who are calling in. That's the power there. It doesn't matter how it looks. It gets across anyway. Like I said, embrace new technologies. And what's really cool, if any of you have used Google Plus or the Google Hangouts, I thought that was a dumb idea. Like, who's going to have like meetings on Google? But there have been a bunch of people, like Freethought Blogs is a whole conglomerate of websites. They run entire conferences on webcam, which is awesome. Does anyone remember listening to this guy a long time ago? The Infidel guy. This is a guy I started listening to when I first became an atheist, because it was a popular podcast. He doesn't do it anymore. But it was just a dude who had a microphone, and he found a way to record it. And he interviewed a lot of really cool people. And now, if you've ever listened to something like The Thinking Atheist, the guy who does that, fantastic. He has like a professional setup. It sounds so cool. I didn't realize Twitter could be a way to spread atheism. But when this debate was going on with Ken Ham and Bill Nye, what was really cool is I was having discussions in real time with people who were watching the live stream of this event. And you had Christians and atheists debating each other on Twitter. And the favorite part is, how do you tell who's who? How do you tell which ones are like on the Ken Ham side, who's on the Bill Nye side? The atheists were all using this hashtag, which was great. And what's really cool is you could promote so many cool ideas on Twitter, and I never thought it could be used for that purpose, so I don't know. Cancel Ken Ham. Let's trend that. Why doesn't that ever happen? And the last one, and anyone who's used any form of social media, be prepared for the backlash. No one's ever going to like anything you do ever, but it turns out a lot of people are going to like it. But you will always get feedback. You're always going to get nasty feedback. What I think is really neat is, especially for younger people, they're really used to getting nasty comments on their blogs or comments on a YouTube page or nasty emails. It's just, it comes with the territory now. But what's really cool, on YouTube, I got more of this than I usually get on my blog. On YouTube, they love to comment about like how I look and stuff like that. And I try not to read that stuff. Thankfully, I have my wife to read them for me and then retell me everything that all these people are saying. They commented on this part of your body today. Because she finds it amusing. But you know what? There are ways of dealing with the backlash too. Because you can shut off the comments if you don't like them. Or you don't have to respond to them, or you can block them. There are ways to deal with it. But a lot of people seem like, oh, I don't want people to criticize me, so I don't want to try it. Please don't let that be the reason you don't do it, because there are ways to not have to deal with the nasty criticism. So finally, I want to give you one more thing, which is that the takeaway lesson from all of this, a new format, whatever you use, a new format is going to let your old ideas reach a new audience. And it's so cool. It's amazing how much reach you can have no matter what you do. And the cool part is a lot of you have been thinking about this stuff your entire life. You know how you would talk. You know if there was a debate, if there was a religious person in front of you trying to debate with you, you know exactly what you would say to them. So go ahead and say it, even if no one's debating you. And it doesn't matter what you use. Just try something. Get it out there so that someone will find it in the future. And the cool part is, you don't have to keep doing it from scratch every single time. And I'll give you one example of that. My friend Greta Christina wrote this really cool blog post like 7 years ago, about why she's an angry atheist. Because religion really makes her upset, as is the case with a lot of us. So she wrote this blog post, and it went really viral. But going really viral on a blog, that reaches one type of audience. So she was thinking, how do I reach more people with this thing that's clearly touched a nerve? She turned it into a book, Why Are Atheists So Angry? And then beyond that, she's given talks where she talks about this stuff, and those talks are on YouTube, and that reaches a whole new mass of people. But it's the same information, but using it and spreading it in a whole bunch of different ways, which I think is the powerful part here. And by the way, I've tried to do this too, which is that I actually ended up compiling a bunch of my blog posts into a book a while ago. And the first thought that went through my head is, first of all, why would people pay for something that they can already get for free on my website? That doesn't make any sense to me, and I thought that was silly. But you know what, if you compile blog posts that have been written about politics and religion and LGBT issues, I didn't think that would go anywhere, but it was a different medium. Again, there are people who read books and like reading it on their Kindle, but they would never read it on the blog. And it turns out, again, it struck a nerve with at least a number of people who have bought this book. I didn't think anyone would get it, but again, a new medium. And it reached people that never would read the site otherwise, so that's awesome. So, I will stop there. Again, the whole point I want to leave you with is, if you don't spread your atheism already, and you don't have any desire to, that's okay. Do whatever it is your career is. Do your job. But there are ways to promote critical thinking and those ideas. But if you do want to spread atheism, if you do want to spread critical thinking and logic, just try any form of media you can get your hands on, and whenever a new one comes out, see if there's a way you could promote it on there. The coolest thing I've seen, people will send me links for my blog, and they're like, have you seen what this person did with their billboard? Have you seen what this person did on YouTube? And it's so cool to see the creativity that people use to promote these ideas. And it's not like it's different ideas. It's not like we haven't heard this before. But they're so amazing about how they spread it with their music or their artwork or something. And so I would encourage all of you, especially those of you who are activists of some sort, try to do that. So I will leave it there. If you have questions, I will be happy to answer them. And thank you to AJ.